it's important to also have a firm understanding of what happens to the food when it's heated or mixed with other types of food. Different foods will react differently, and that is because not all foods are molecularly the same. You know, they have different densities and different characteristics. The different types of compounds that comprise a food are proteins, carbohydrates, fats, water, minerals, for example, salt, vitamins, pigments, and flavoring elements. So when food comes into contact with heat, proteins will coagulate. The proteins lose moisture, shrink, and become firm. Obviously, you've seen this happen with meat, eggs, and probably bread as well. Next, starches will gelatinize. Starches absorb liquids, causing them to swell and soften. Thickening occurs because of the swelling of granules occupying more space. For example, your sauce will become thickened with flour, or this also happens when a cake is baked. Sugars caramelize. Sugars are carbohydrates that brown and change flavor with the application of heat. Food typically only brown with dry heat cooking methods because moist heat cooking methods do not get hot enough, as browning typically occurs between 160 and 170 degrees Celsius. Then, moisture will evaporate. As the internal temperature of food increases, water will turn into gas, resulting in the drying of food. So, let's talk a little bit about proteins and how they react to the exposure of heat. Proteins can be found heavily in meat, poultry, eggs, fish, and also in grains and nuts. There are some interesting things that happen to protein when it's heated. In order to understand these things, we should first understand how a protein is composed. Proteins are made up of long strands or chains of components that are called amino acids. These coils will unwind when heated, and are often said to be denatured. As the coils unwind, they will form bonds with one another, and this is called coagulation. These proteins then form a network and will become firm. The proteins begin to shrink and lose moisture as they are heated. When a protein-enriched food has become tough and dry during the cooking process, it's probably due to excessive heating. Most proteins are said to be cooked at about 160 degrees Fahrenheit to 185 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 71 Celsius to 85 Celsius. Meats and other protein-rich food also contain small amounts of carbohydrates. When these foods are heated to 154 degrees Celsius or 310 degrees Fahrenheit, the amino acids will react with the carbohydrate molecules, and this will create a reaction that is known as the Maillard reaction. That's a very important term, which we're actually going to talk more about coming up in this unit. This is seen with the browning of meat, which is also associated with rich flavor. The reason you see this only on the outside of the meat is because there is moisture on the inside of the meat, which prevents it from becoming a high enough temperature to cause the reaction. So 154 degrees Celsius is when the Maillard reaction occurs. Proteins also contain connective tissues. Protein-rich foods, which are kind of known to be tough, usually contain many connective tissues. When cooked slowly, however, the tissues will dissolve, making the food a lot more tender. Another way of breaking the tissues down is by adding acids, like vinegar or lemon. These will also help to speed up the coagulation process. So proteins, as we just heard, do a lot during the cooking process. Carbohydrates are both starches and sugars. As mentioned above, meat does contain carbohydrates, but only in a small amount. Fruits, vegetables, and grains contain the most carbohydrates. Heat will affect carbohydrates in two very important ways. The first being caramelization, which is essentially the browning of sugar. The second effect is gelatinization, which happens when the starch in a carbohydrate absorbs water and swells. This is why sauce will swell when a starch agent is added. An important thing to remember about gelatinization is that acids will inhibit the process. So acids actually prevent gelatinization from occurring. This is why, okay, so you want a little bit of acidity in your sauce. So you finish the sauce with lemon juice. This is why you finish the sauce with lemon juice as opposed to adding lemon juice with other ingredients. The lemon juice will actually inhibit the gelatinization. I wouldn't say that it will eliminate it from happening or prevent it from happening altogether, but it will certainly make it more difficult. I'd also like to talk about fiber now when we talk about carbohydrates. An important thing to know about fiber is that it can't be digested. When fruits and vegetables soften from cooking, it is because their fibers are being broken down. Fiber-rich foods can be manipulated to either break down further by adding alkalis, which is baking soda, is the most common source of alkalis, or staying firmer by adding sugar. When alkalis are added to the food to help them soften, they will probably become mushy and also lose their vitamins. Therefore, softening vegetables and fruits this way is really not recommended. Fats, which are present in most foods, and are also used for cooking foods. Fats can be found in both liquid and solid forms. We can call liquid fats oils, but solid fats can be melted to become liquids. Fats begin to break down when heated, and they will begin to smoke if they become hot enough. We call this the smoke point. We've already talked about that in the program. It's important to keep this in mind when choosing oil for deep frying. A fat with a high smoke point is called a stable fat. Fats can be easily infused from flavor with other foods, which can be a good thing. Infusing olive oil with garlic, for example, is excellent. Or it can be a bad thing. When the fat from your meal melts and drips away, taking the flavor and the vitamins of the product with it. Speaking about minerals and vitamins, these contribute to the nutritional value of the food. Pigments and flavor components give the desired appearance and the taste. It's important to understand and consider the method in which foods are cooked, because some methods will strip the foods of the things we want to be in there, like the minerals, the vitamins, the pigments, and the flavor components. Some vitamins and pigments, of course, pigment is the color of the food, will be lost by long cooking times. Some minerals and nutrients, vitamins, will also be dissolved during cooking. So it's important to know which foods are water soluble and which foods are fat soluble in order to choose the correct cooking media. Water is present in nearly all foods. When at sea level, water will turn into a gas. It will boil at 100 degrees Celsius, and then it will freeze at 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 degrees Celsius. Boiling water is when the molecules turn to steam and leave the pot they are in. This is called evaporation. The lower the temperature, the slower the water evaporates. When water is lost from food by evaporation, the surface of the food becomes drier and will eventually brown. Much like liquid fat, water can be a carrier of flavor. Certain compounds, when dissolved in water, will change the freezing and boiling points of water. For example, salt lowers the freezing point and raises the boiling point. This is the end of the recording for Unit 6, Part 1. I want students to remember that this unit will serve as an introduction for a lot of the cooking techniques that are discussed in upcoming units. Certainly, we'll talk about cooking methods again when we get to the meat units and also the baking and pastry units. The next recording will be for Unit 6, Part 2, and we will discuss moist and dry cooking methods.